Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Let's head out now to the BetQL guest hotline. Say good morning to Nikki Javala, Commanders reporter for the Washington Post. And training camp coverage on 106.7 The Fan is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation, paulhenryswindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. Nikki, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Nikki, it was nice to meet you on Monday out at the Commanders Media Happy Hour. It was very nice.
And yeah, likewise.
What did you think of...
put a face with a voice.
Yeah, same with you. What did you think of DQ and AP? I think they're really down-to-earth dudes.
Yeah, they seem fairly normal given their position, and that is rare in the NFL. yeah, they seem pretty low-key, easy to talk to, normal guys, but also very detailed. They don't share a whole lot, which, you know, I get. That's probably better for the franchise, less so for us in media. but yeah, I like what they've done so far.
And yeah. Nikki, from that initial press conference a couple days ago, they're really into each other. There's like a burgeoning like bromance between. There's so much DQ and AP back and forth. Like, it's good to see that synergy. It's not like they're at odds with each other. They clearly look like they're in harmony.
Yes, which I think is important, and I think was missing quite a bit over the last few years, and various aspects, be it the coaching staff or otherwise. And you've heard players talk about it. They feel like there's one message and not 20 different messages from, you know, the front office to, you know, the head coach to positional coaches. So it's important. I mean, I think anytime you listen to Terry, like, I want like one of those bells that you ring whenever he mentions something that you're like, oh, I know what he's talking about.
Like that?
Yes, there, exactly. Because every single answer now, I'm like, oh, there's it's like subtle. I don't think it's intentional EB shade. He's not that kind of guy, but he'll tell you straight up the things that are missing. If you listen closely, he goes through all of it every time he gets up at the podium. And yesterday, sure enough, he mentioned how there's like one message from the whole coaching staff. And last year, that was a big problem. They would get messaging from positional coaches, head coach on up, and it would be different and it'd be pretty confusing, especially on game days.
Nikki, everybody, you know, that has a first-round quarterback, they're going to, you know, you're only going to get glowing reports early on, and that's what we're getting from Jaden, to be expected. But you've been here the last couple of years. We've had different guys. Now, it's not fair. It's one day of training camp, but just tossing a few balls. But, like, do you notice a difference physically or anything are you seeing from the last few guys we've had here? Like, I actually do remember when Wentz was here, some of you guys were like, he's kind of not looking great and like, you know, no defensive drills here. You know, like, he's missing like open guys. There were some red flags. But, you know, we heard good things about how I think Fitz, some of the reports weren't great about Fitz, actually, to be honest.
Right.
What are you seeing so far? Anything jumping out at you?
Yeah, I mean, he's far and away the better quarterback. Far and away. I mean, that's why if I didn't, this notion of any quarterback competition, I mean, one, it's silly. They invested $38 million into the second-round pick. I mean, he was the starting quarterback before he was even drafted here. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's inevitable. But that aside, draft status aside, contract aside, he's just far and away the better quarterback out
you
there.
Can tell.
And yes, it's not against the full defense. They don't put pads on until Monday, but he has no problem hitting Brian Robinson in stride on a deep ball in the corner of the end zone. The others, there are multiple passes where they're wide a couple feet. They overthrow receivers. It is what it is. I mean, he's just the better quarterback. And like you, it, I do notice a difference from others in the past. Mm-hmm. It is still early, though, and I also struggle with the hyperbole this mm-hmm. time of year where, you know, not a single pass has, you know, hit the ground. Mm-hmm. That's not accurate either. Like, mm-hmm. that's ridiculous. But he is the better quarterback, and he does look good.
So, Nick, yeah, I'm watching that video right now that you referenced. It's on your Twitter of Jaden Daniels dropping the ball to Brian Robinson. I'm not going to get ahead of myself, like you said, because, look, there's no pass rush. You know, there's nobody right. covering Brian Robinson. But kind of a bigger overarching thing is Brian Robinson going to be more involved in the passing game? Because a lot of people think, well, yeah. they went out and got Austin Ekeler. He's going to handle almost all of the receiving chops out of the backfield. But I think it's always been undersold, like, how good Robinson is with his hands, catching passes. Like, is that something that Kingsbury is going to lean into, or are they still going to major in Ekeler doing that, and it's just going to be a little portion of Robinson's game?
I think we could see definitely more of Brian Robinson in the passing game. Will it be as much as Austin Ekeler? Probably not, but I agree with you. I think Brian Robinson has been underutilized in general, especially in the passing game. And like you said, he is more than capable of catching. I mean, he looks natural out there. That play in particular, I just happened to be standing at the pylon so I could see how accurate that ball was, and it literally just fell right into his hands. So it was a good route, too. They don't show that part on the video, obviously, but, you know, I think we could see more of that from him. We should see more of that from him.
I've been kind of down on Robinson. I just think he's so far demonstrated that he's capable. I don't see anything special. What am I missing?
I don't know that he's been fully given a chance to show all that he can. Mm-hmm. I mean, that first year, I felt like it took a little bit for him to really feel like himself after the shooting, which was awful. And then the second year, I think the whole offense was out of whack completely. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to see if he can find his rhythm in Kingsbury's offense and kind of find his role. I think a lot is still uncertain about what Kingsbury's offense will look like, mm-hmm. really. I mean, we have a pretty good idea based on his time in Arizona, but you'd like to think he does tailor some things to this personnel. So I don't know. I think this will be a big year for him. I mean, going into year three anyway, but yeah, I'm really curious to see.
What about Ekeler? What have you seen with him? I mean, I'm assuming he's going to be back to fully healthy, and he might surprise some people.
Him and Ertz. If they can stay healthy, they look really good. I mean, this is the happiest time of year, of course.
Right.
And, you know, everybody seems healthy, which is great for them. You hope it can stay that way. But, you know, if those two can play at the level they are, I think they'll look more like they did, you know, 2-3 years ago. It's just hard to tell now. Until they put on pads, especially for the running backs, it's just so hard to tell what mm-hmm. you really have in them. But so far, he looks good.
So how long are they on the field? Let's just say today, how long are they on the field? And then do they, I assume they just break for lunch, and then do they just go inside and in the classrooms? What's the schedule from start to finish on a normal day?
Yeah, so they're on the field at, like 8:45, really start at 9. Yesterday, I want to say they went like an hour and 15 minutes.
Okay.
They're going to ramp up to 2 hours eventually, so each day will probably get a little bit longer. Just in shells and helmets right now. They have their practice, you know, go in for a break, meetings much of the afternoon, evening walkthrough. So it's a fairly long day. The media portion is condensed to the morning, though, because we don't get to see walkthrough.
Right.
We're joined by Nikki Javala, Commanders reporter for the Washington Post. So how surprised were you that Johnny Newton came off the NFI right before the team took the field for practice, like a matter of an hour, maybe hour and a half before the practice started?
Yeah, I did not see that one coming. I mean, the team has been optimistic, but not like, oh, yeah, there's a chance he could come back tomorrow. Because I specifically asked about it on Tuesday in the press conference, and they did say, you know, we expect him to come back sooner rather than later, but we're going to be cautious with it, blah, blah, blah. I don't think they expected the next day. They said he had a physical Tuesday afternoon, like after that presser. So he's clearly been on track, maybe even a little ahead of schedule based on what they've said. But to get him back fully that's huge. That's huge. And they're going to ease him back in. I mean, yesterday was his first practice with the team, period. So they'll ease him back in. He's only doing individual right now.
Right.
When you look at this roster, just sort of globally, how much better is it than last year? I'm a homer, so I always tend to say, I think you can do that. You know, I thought we addressed our offensive line last year when we brought in, you know, Gates and Wiley. Well, that didn't really work out. I always try to look at the positives, but I feel like it is a better roster. Certainly it's better, I think, at the most important position, and I think the coaching is going to be markedly better. So, I mean, I'm definitely think we're trending in the right direction. Where do you stand on it, just sort of when you just look at it from as a whole?
Yeah, I think on paper they're better. I like that they have more veterans to kind of bring in the leadership aspect of it. That was missing. They didn't have really a voice on that team. They have Terry, who's become more vocal and is obviously a well-respected guy on the team, but they didn't, you know, a young quarterback, they don't really have that, or in the last 4 years, they didn't really have that true voice on the team. I think when you bring in guys like Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz, that really helps to, you know, set a tone, set a foundation. So I really like that aspect of it. Mm-hmm. I think on paper they do look better talent-wise. I also thought last year the secondary looked a lot better, and they were not. So I've been like second-guessing myself for much of this offseason. Like, yeah, I think they're better on paper, but what if they're not? What if they're just bad again? And it's like, so I'm hesitant to go down that road again. But I do like
what about coaching?
Step. I'm with you on there. Yeah. I feel like they're better equipped to develop players.
Yeah.
They come from a lot of different backgrounds. There are a lot of former head coaches on this roster, which can be good. It can be bad, but it seems like they're really on the same page. So I got to think it's positive.
Nikki, what is the Luke McCaffrey role going to look like? How is that going to develop? Do you think big slot receiver? Does he shift to the outside and maybe Dotson plays some in the slot? Yeah. How do you see that working out?
We've already seen him play all over. I mean, again, it's early. They're mixing guys, ones, twos, threes, moving guys all around just to kind of see where they fit. But he's been outside. He's been in the slot. They've used him all over. I think he'll be the clear number three. I know that might sound crazy at this point, but, you know, it's a third-round draft pick of the new regime. You know, I don't think you can underestimate the McCaffrey name. The whole family is ridiculous.
I agree.
And while he's raw, he only has 2 years of, you know, receiving experience, but he was
productive,
pretty highly touted quarterback.
And he's an athlete, no doubt.
Yeah.
And Nikki, if I'm De'Ami Brown, I'm going to have my head on a swivel. Like for Luke McCaffrey, especially. I feel like he has to have a pretty big camp just to make the roster.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I feel like everybody beyond Terry and Jahan, it's wide open. I think McCaffrey slides in as a clear number three, but beyond that, it's wide open in that room.
Another example of my homerism here, Nick, is I'm kind of a Jamin Davis truther. If you put the right staff around him, you give him the right role, because I just, on paper, the athleticism is, I don't know. We haven't figured out a spot for him, and so I'm kind of like, I feel like it's make or break. Like, I think they're going to give him an opportunity. Yeah. I think they're going to, because they, you know, on paper, I hate, everyone's going to mock me, but you look at him athletically, it's very similar to Micah Parsons' athletic profile. Now, Micah's a freak. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame. Jamin, so far, is basically a bum. But the athleticism is there if they can find a way to use him. So what are you seeing?
No, I agree totally. And that's the biggest reason they dropped him. He's an athletic freak. I mean, he has the speed. He has the power. He doesn't have that. I don't say this disparagingly, but like Micah Parsons is a complete package as a football player. He has the instincts. He can do things that no other player can do. Jamin has all the physical tools. He came in with so little experience at linebacker. He was 1 year of starting experience at Kentucky. you try to play the mic, which in Del Rio's defense, the mic is can be especially complicated. Just talking to former players who played it, because he asked them to do quite a bit anyway, but especially in that defense. Mm-hmm. And I think they talked about moving him outside more, never really did it. This group does seem to be using him outside. They brought in a true mic and Bobby Wagner. They got a crazy hybrid guy in Frankie Louvu, who can basically play all over the field. So they can make, you know, Jamin Davis more of that pass rush specialist. And I hope they do for his sake. I mean, this is truly a make or break year. Last right. year of his contract, he's got to prove himself mm-hmm. to stay on here or to get anywhere, really.
Yeah. Right. Nikki, we were talking about the defensive line yesterday and just kind of breaking down the guys they added. And I said, you know, based on Johnny Newton being healthy now and if Payne and Allen can play like they did a couple years ago, I think it could be a really good unit. Let's see what the ends do that they brought in, yep. Armstrong and Farrell. But we also talked about Fedarian Mathis. Now, he didn't play at all in 22, and he was a second-round pick, on, you know, obviously under the previous regime. And this is his third year. He played a little bit last year, but he had a total, I just looked it up, he had a total of 8 tackles. So I don't think Commanders fans really even know what he looks like. You know, because he hasn't been out there. Is he, first of all, is he healthy? And do they think he could be a vital piece in the rotation at tackle with Johnny Newton?
Yeah, there are a few guys back there. He's definitely one of the bigger names just because he was a second-round pick, and he lost his rookie season, played sparingly last year. This is a prove-it season for him. And I think that's the case for a lot of the holdover guys, for a lot of guys in general, but especially the holdover guys who are trying to prove themselves to a new regime. I also look at a guy like John Ridgeway, who I think is a really, really good player and a guy that they got for a steal, and Quinn is familiar with him because they got him from Dallas. I think the depth at D-tackle is good, but it's also interesting because if they play the way they should, it gives them options for next year, and they have and out in John Allen's contract. I mean, he's still John Allen. Do you really want to move on from him? It creates a possibility of getting younger there if that's something they want to look at. But they need to see something from Phil Mathis and right. really see something from John Ridgeway. I know John Ridgeway lost like 20 pounds coming into this camp, so I think he's taking it fairly seriously.
So there's going to be some battles at that position.
Yes.
I feel like Ridgeway's done more than Mathis, honestly.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. No, Ridgeway's a good player. Like, he's, you know.
Mathis hasn't done anything.
Is he a three-down starter? Maybe not, but he's trying to get on the field more on third down.
Nikki, is the Washington Post putting up their staff at the swanky Lansdowne Resort like the Commanders are doing for their players and staff?
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Shockingly, they are not. quite the change. It's not quite the Residence Inn that they've been at the past, or no hotel at all. New ownership.
It's a nice up.
They're not messing around.
Are they there? Like, is Josh there and Rails and Ein and all those guys? Like, do you expect to see them?
I think they'll come out, like, every now and then. Josh was here yesterday. I didn't see him, but somebody mentioned he was there. I was looking more on the field. Uh-huh. I didn't see Rails here yesterday, but I would imagine they come out, you know, whenever they can. Mark Ein, of course, has his City Open going on at the same time, so we might not see him much for the first week or so. But
that's right.
Yeah, they pop in every now and then.
Okay.
Nikki, thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
Have fun
out
there
today. Super busy this
time
of year. Thanks so much. Nikki Javala, Commanders reporter. for the Washington Post. When we come back, EB talked about it a little bit earlier. He's got a bombshell. He's going to drop on everybody, and we'll do that next here on The Fan.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.